Before we get started with this episode of Bench with Bubba, I wanted to talk to you about rotoballer.com. Win big in 2022 with rotoballer.com's MLB and DFS Premium Pass, which includes 15 exclusive lineup tools, daily DFS cheat sheets, and our new Team Sync platform. Use Rotoballer's exclusive hitter projections, pitching planners, DFS value plays, research stations, lineup optimizer, and more to help you win big. For a limited time, get your MLB Premium Pass for an extra 10% off with your discount code Bubba, B-U-B-B-A. Just visit rotoballer.com, use promo code Bubba, B-U-B-B-A for 10% off the Premium Pass for the MLB season, and get started to rotoballing like a boss. Back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 496. I have a special guest returning to be benched with Bubba tonight. A great man, a great guest. Always enjoy talking with them. If it's either on Twitter through the DMs or on the podcast, great individual, great fantasy analyst and player. Really good stuff. I had the pleasure of playing in TGFBI with him last year. That was an absolute blast. He writes for Baseball Prospectus. He writes for Pitcher List. He's the man behind Specs and Cue Boards. You can find him on Twitter at CA Marcano. Carlos Marcano, how are we doing, my friend?
Oh, man, very happy to be here once again. And after that introduction, I'm afraid to talk, man. Yeah, you're always too kind with me. But no, I'm just pleased to be here with you. It's always I always have a lot of fun, and we usually get to get some nice stuff, and hopefully folks around can find it useful. So it's all a win-win situation.
Yes, it is. It always is. And the words were true. You're a great person, a great stuff you got coming out. What you're doing at, since last time we talked, you've done a lot of work at Baseball Prospectus now. We obviously have the pitcher list work that we will definitely talk about later on. But why don't you just briefly let people know what kind of your recent articles? I know you do like a two-star pitcher article and some other stuff. So let them know what you got going on right now.
Yeah, I'm the local resident on two-star pitchers at Baseball Prospectus for the fantasy team. So I always have this. I have this weekly column which goes on Fridays where I analyze the following week schedule for pitchers that have two starts, and it's been really really cool and a challenge in terms of getting the most helpful information for everyone to try to maximize the pitching and for all their teams. And I hadn't done it before, and I'm really liking it. And I'm also do some freestyle fantasy stuff. The most recently one was looking for some BABIPs oddities in for some hitters and stuff like that, and where I found out that maybe Max Muncy could be for a good second half and things like that. And, you know, just trying to put some stuff in Twitter and of course, updating Specs as much as possible. So it can be another tool that folks can use for analyzing their pitchings in Devers.
Yeah, it's great stuff. I love, like we talked, I think, Specs and Cue Boards every time you've been on, and it's just cool to see the development of that. We will definitely hit on that after the trade deadline review. But let's get into it, and we'll start with the big one, get it out of the way. This was amazing, yeah. And anybody that's on Twitter or has the capability of watching it, the reception in San Diego for Juan Soto, you would think he was Elvis or something, or it's like he's the second coming right now. It is
their savior.
Yeah, it's insane. Like, I get it. I totally get it. He's a generational talent. Like, it's pretty awesome. Your team did it for you. Brandon Drury hit a grand slam in his first at-bat. It's been pretty wild, but the first move is Juan Soto and Josh Bell coming over to the Padres. We'll start there. We'll hit the return later. And for people that are curious,
We're not going to talk a lot about prospects because we're not prospect guys. That's just not us. You have James Anderson. He came out with an awesome RotoWire podcast. You have Chris Clegg and Eric Cross. You have
Eric Welsh. Cross.
There's tons of great prospect guys out there that'll know way more than we will. Sure. So we're not even going to waste your time with that one. But we'll stick to the big leagues. I think it's pretty simple here, but Juan Soto and Josh Bell coming to San Diego. Thoughts?
I mean, it's the big thing, right? And it's funny because we already knew that this was going to happen with Soto, but the minute it happened, it was like an asteroid appearing in the sky, and everything went, you know. And it has to be like that. As you said, Soto is just an otherworldly talent. I mean, when you get compared with Ted Williams, there's not too much to add, you know. And definitely for him, moving out of that Nationals lineup, it's an upgrade for sure. And even for Josh Bell, that he was already getting some protection from Soto in Washington. But I mean, if you look at the Nationals lineup order now, you're gonna see Manny. Well, when Tatis comes back, and he might be the first the leadoff guy, it's gonna be Tatis, Soto, Machado, Bell, and probably Cronenworth. So that's a scary man. That's really, really scary. And having all that protection one to each other's just means that most of these guys are going to see better pitches. Maybe not Soto, but Bell. I think the guy that's getting the best situation out of here is Josh Bell. He's having a breakout campaign, and he will continue with it. Undoubtedly, I don't know. Of course, we know what Juan Soto can do, so there's no doubt that he will be awesome also in San Diego.
Yeah, 100% with you. It's like, you guys are still going to be great. Obviously, the lineup's going to help both of them tremendously. That's going to be huge. It is crazy. You mentioned the Ted Williams comparison, because it's pretty accurate. And now he's playing where Tony Gwynn played his whole career, who was also an elite hitter with, like if people want to go back, you know, we live in a world with so many strikeouts now. Just go look at the stat lines from Tony Gwynn's career. It's ridiculous how little he struck out. I know Carlos is a big baseball fan from back in the day, so he knows what I'm talking about. It's wild to see. And he's 23 years old. 23.
I mean, we haven't seen the best from him. No. That's what's making it more scary, you know, and exciting at the same time.
Yeah, when I was 23, I was trying to get through college still. I didn't even have aspirations to do what he was doing. So it's just crazy to see what he's doing right now. But yeah, it's going to be great for both of them. I agree, Bell gets the bigger bump, because Soto, what bigger bump could he get, really? Sure, he'll get more protection, but he's still elite. Bell should get a nice pusher, which is going to be very, very nice. In this deal, a bunch of great prospects went. So that's great for the Nats. They also got Luke Voit. And I've been kind of torn on this move, because Voit's been very inconsistent, starting to hit towards the last couple weeks, which was good to see. And on the bright side, he's going to go to Washington, where he'll play every day, which was not the case in San Diego. But he mentioned it. That lineup, man, it is rough. So what's your thoughts on Luke Voit?
Yeah. I mean, things could only get better for him, to be honest. And if he gets the playing time, he had such a rough time for the past couple of seasons. And there is always this expectation for him from Luke Voit. But I think I have to agree in that this is good for him in overall. And if he can translate his potential talent into all the playing time that he might get, I mean, it's an upgrade for him. I'm not saying that he's a must add in your dynasty teams or anything like that. It's a positive move for him, but we in a kind of hold and see situation. You know, we have to get some glimpse of what he can do in the following weeks.
Yeah, I'm with you. Before he got traded, since July 15th, he's hitting .261. He had three home runs, which is good to see. He's barreling the ball 23.5% of the time, a near 60% hard hit rate. So you're seeing what you want to see from Luke Voit. Now let's see if it can translate to Washington. It's a great ballpark to hit in the summertime. The ball flies there. Yeah. It gets really hot and humid. But yeah, why would you pitch to him is what it comes down to. So
exactly. That'll make things
tricky.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's a matter of consistency at the end for him, because he has the power. We know that he hits the ball hard, but can he hit the ball consistently? There's where the question mark comes into the equation.
100%. The other kind of collateral damage from this move, the reason Luke Voigt's in Washington, and I kind of joked, I said Eric Hosmer should be on the top of Luke Voigt's list right about now, because Luke would have been probably still sitting in San Diego potentially if this didn't happen. But Hosmer used his no trade clause to not go to Washington. Yeah. They ended up flipping him to Boston. And we know Hosmer, ground ball machine. He gets paid a lot of money, but he is hitting 272. I'll give him that. He's not striking out a lot, 15%. 8 home runs, not great, not bad. He's going to go to Boston where they can use his defense for sure. But what's your thoughts on the fantasy impact of what should be an everyday role for him?
I think there's no actual fantasy impact from Hosmer, anything different from what we have seen already. I'm a little baffled about this move from Chase Bloom, because, I mean, they got Dalbec, which hasn't been great at all this year. But it also has Tristan Casas, and I mean, he was supposed to be the one that was going to take that first base and for Boston. So they might be seeing something in Casas that they don't like if they're putting Hosmer right now. Because why would you take a guy with such a San Diego is still paying for a lot of his salary, so it wouldn't be a problem with money. But I mean, it's not like Boston is contending like crazy. I would ride with Dalbec and see if he can straight his stuff or something like that. I don't really understand this trade, but and I don't see any meaningful impact beyond the defense from Hosmer.
Yeah, he'll play every day. He'll have his weeks where he's strong, have his weeks where he frustrates you. That's just what Hosmer does. He's not an elite talent. Deeper leagues, he's got some viability. It does hurt Dalbec tremendously because he was playing first base and third base. Devers came back on Tuesday from the IL, so obviously he's going there. And I don't see a world where Hosmer doesn't play majority of first base. So Dalbec's going to kind of be moving around, hoping DH him, but you got JD and company. So it's an interesting move for sure. You mentioned also Tristan Casas. He should be up, you would think so, but then, you know, you look at his page and you could see Boston using this as an excuse. He's only hitting 243. He's striking out 22.3% of the time. That's the most since 2019. He only has 8 home runs. These are still not bad numbers. Don't get me wrong. He's got 201 ISO. His BABIP's only 275, so that's got to have some positive regression coming. The kid's talented. You'd think you'd want to give him at-bats, as you're saying. I could see Boston using that as an excuse, though. Like, hey, he needs some more seasoning type thing.
Yeah, to manipulate the service and stuff like that.
That's the only thing that makes sense. You mentioned Hosmer's free. Yeah. San Diego's paying the money. He's paying the money.
That it's maybe just a salary dump or something like that. If you read Boston's fans' Twitter, oh, my God. They're really, really mad. Yep. Right now. I get it.
Because we're having some more stuff to talk about Boston that makes you scratch your head here as we go on. They had one of the odd ones, that's for sure. Let's go back to San Diego because AJ Preller was active, one would say. The day before the Soto move, we thought, oh, big move. Here we go, Padres. They improved on that, obviously, with Soto. But they were so innocent. Yes, they went and traded for Josh Hader from the Milwaukee Brewers, one of the most elite closers in baseball. This was right after a lot of people grabbed Luis Garcia to potentially close in San Diego.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's a lot to say here, but Josh Hader is basically the man in San Diego.
Oh, sure. For sure. I'm sorry for all the fat money invested in Luis Garcia, but Hader is the man. He had an atrocious July, but it happened. That same thing happened last year. July is something of a bad month historically for him. And then he got, back to his great ways after in August and on. So there's no doubt about Hader's quality, and he should get. I mean, if Rogers got 28 saves, Hader is more than able to also grab a really big handful of saves too. So no worries there. Basically, it's no move in terms of fantasy impact for Hader for me. On the other hand, Devin Williams gets big, you know, a big boost. But I think in most of high stakes leagues, he was already gone. So if you see, there are no lateral moves around this trade with a fantasy impact.
Yeah, I'm with you, because I think Devin Williams pretty much, especially in 15 teamers, he's pretty much all gone. You might find him in some 12s and definitely some 10s.
Yeah.
So you have some chances there. 1.59 ERA on the season, 66 strikeouts and 39 innings pitched. He's been electric. Absolutely amazing. 25 holds. Now he gets to convert those into saves, boys and girls. He still has 6 saves to top it off. Like, he's been that good. Yeah. The only question I'll have for you, because I'm pretty much in line with this is Devin Williams' world, and Taylor Rogers is going to live in it. But some people are thinking Taylor Rogers is going to get a fair share of action too. What are your thoughts on that?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, you should not break what you should not fix what's not broken. And Devin Williams has been amazing. I get it. You can have Rogers for other high leverage situations where you want to use him, but it makes no sense to not give Williams the bigger share of saves.
100% agree with you there. And one more move for the San Diego Padres. They went and this one was a little bit of a surprise, I guess. They went and traded for Brandon Drury, super utility guy. It's been crushing it for Cincinnati this year. He has hitting 274, 20 home runs on the season, been playing just outstanding. Like I said earlier, hit a grand slam in his first at-bat with the Padres tonight. What's your thoughts on this one? Because I'm kind of torn. He's been very good, deserves to play. Yeah. You still have a utility player like in Kim. Tatis comes back soon. How do you think this plays out?
Unfortunately, I think it's going to be a problem for him in terms of when Tatis comes back, he has no place where to play. And he's going to be like this, you know, great utility guy that I'm sure they're going to try to maximize the opportunities to get his bat in the lineup. But if you see the Padres already have Cronenworth that can be around, they have Profar who's been playing all the way in all places, and Tatis, and of course they have Manny on third base. So the house is full, and he's the odd man out. So I think this is bad for his fantasy value in the long term for the rest of the season.
That's how I feel. I've had many people tell me I'm wrong. That's how I'm with you, though. I think he'll get his action, but if it's like a 7-game week, he might play 4. Yeah. And that's what makes it tricky, though, in a weekly format. Do you trust that? I think Kim's going to get shut down quite a bit compared to what we wanted. And on the flip side, you'll have to keep an eye on like the Nomar Mazaras and Will Myers of the world in the outfield. Like, there's a lot of moving pieces that are going to really start taking some hits as they share roles. So that's going to be quite interesting as well.
Totally agree. Yeah.
All right, the Seattle Mariners, you know, Preller couldn't have all the fun. Dylan DePoto had to get involved in this trade deadline, and I love this move. Luis Castillo going to Seattle, leaving Great American Small Park. You couldn't ask for much more. Obviously a better ballpark, obviously a better defense. Goes out in his first start in Yankee Stadium, 6 2/3, 3 earned, and those 3 earned came in the 7th inning, or at least 2 of them did. 8 strikeouts, got the W against Garrett Cole. He's been outstanding of late. It's a phenomenal move for the Mariners.
This is like Luis Castillo went to bed and dreamed the best possible scenario for him rest of the season, and DePoto just said, "Here's your wish granted," you know, and it happened. And I'm so happy for him because he's such a good pitcher, and I love him. And he's got you know, some kind of resurgence because he's had his struggles. For a couple of months. So this is, I mean, the fantasy value in terms of those Ws that are so hard to get this season because of the low volume that pitchers are getting, and they're hardly going after the 5th inning, and it's so, so frustrating sometimes to try to get those wins. And I would love to have more shares of Castillo. Unfortunately, I don't. To be honest, but I mean, those that were wiser and got him in their draft, they're going to get their reward.
Yeah, they definitely are. I think I have him in like one league, maybe. I'm so wishing I had more. I'm with you there. Yeah. He's on paper should have a phenomenal final 2 months of the season. Sure. There should be a big Luis Castillo time. It's going to be like a little mini King Felix up there in Seattle all over again. It's going to be fun to watch all develop.
getting out of that hell park for pitchers that is great American ballpark, it's just like, you know, 80% improvement in anything you do, you know. Yeah. Your ratio should get better also. And I'm so excited for him. But I'm even more excited for another guy that we'll talk about later.
Yes, we will. There's plenty of fun ones to talk about there. I will also say, I'll preface it again, so people know, the Reds got some really good prospects.
Yeah.
So, like, go check out the experts in that. If you're a Reds fan, you should kind of be happy with how things turned out, all things considered, this trade deadline. So I'll say that much.
Yeah, I think this was a very even trade in terms of – I think everyone should be happy with how it went.
No doubt about it. The New York Yankees, they were looking for some starting pitching. They might still be. We'll get to that in a minute. But Frankie Montas and Lou Trevino come over to New York. Frankie Montas has been pitching very well this season when he's been in and out of his shoulder injury. That's the biggest concern, is like, how's that going to all play out?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's been documented. Oakland's a great ballpark to pitch in. His home road splits have been very dramatic throughout his career.
Yeah,
I like Frankie. I'm rooting for Frankie. I will be lying if I said I'm not nervous, though. So what's your thoughts on Frankie going to New York?
Yeah, I mean, I'm an A's fan, so I've been following Frankie for a long time. And I wish the guy do well, but I'm also worried about those splits. And that's a short porch on the left side and on the right side on Yankee Stadium. So I think this is an improvement in terms of also wins, because you're going to have that massive offensive behind you. But in terms of your ratios, it might be a little bit hurtful for him and all the fantasy teams. And I don't know what – I'm not really understanding what Cashman did, because he gets Frankie but then deals Montgomery. And so yeah. I'm a little confused there, and also not having a – well, we don't know if Severino is completely healthy. So that rotation, it's kind of, you know – taped and you know, patches all around, and if I were a Yankees fan, yes, I would be happy, because they needed a boost in their starting pitcher rotation. But I don't think the answer was these two guys. I think the answer was somewhere else. It's still a boost, but I'm not sure it's going to be enough, you know.
Yeah, it's a boost for sure, like you said. But I'm nervous. I'm very nervous. I wish him the best. But that ballpark, that division, like, everything's a negative situation compared to where he was. We'll see how it goes. Hopefully the shoulder stays healthy as well. So that's another situation. Like you mentioned, they kept saying, we need more pitching. We're trying for Pablo Lopez. We're doing this. And they didn't get any of them. And then right before the deadline, they trade Jordan Montgomery. So let's talk about it. Jordan Montgomery goes to St. Louis for Harrison Bader. Harrison Bader's foot's in a boot. He's supposed to be back in September. They just want that defense in center field. That's what they need. It's killing them. So that's all that. It's a playoff move in that regard. Mm-hmm. But trading Jordan Montgomery here, it's almost like they know more than we do about something, because he's been kind of rough his last couple outings. He's had a great year.
Yeah.
Last couple outings have been rough. It's like, is there an injury we don't know about that the doctor couldn't find in the physical? Like, what are we doing here? So what's your thought on this move? Because I love Jomo. I'm a big fan of his.
Me too.
And this one shocked me.
Totally. When I saw that, I was, oh my God, I really could not understand it, because I'm also a big fan of Jordan. I mean, he's been a stellar. He only got more than three or more earned runs in like five of all his 21 games started this year. So he's a guy that he's been very consistent on avoiding runs from the offense. He's usually goes deep into the game, or for, you know, the actual standards. And as you said, I think the Yankees might know something that we really are not aware of, or there might be some mechanical thing that they saw in the past couple of starts that we might not be aware of. But I think, to be honest, I'd rather have Jordan than Frankie. I'll put it that way. I'd rather ride with Jordan and maybe get other kind of pitcher instead of Frankie Montas. But I mean, they are the front office. They should know better than us, right?
No, yeah, but I agree. But I'm with you. Like, Jordan's proved he can pitch in Yankee Stadium. He's got the lefty situation, so the more righties going into the left field instead of the short portion right. So that's a plus. And for Jordan, it's a great – it's a move. Getting out of the AL East into the NL Central is a great transition. Great ballpark to pitch in. Really good defense behind him. So it's a great move for Jordan Montgomery, just baffling for the Yankees. I'd love to know what's going on in that situation.
Yeah, I think that Jordan is going to continue having a great season in St. Louis. They should point that to that. And if I had shares of him, I would be really happy with the following month. So let's see how that rolls.
I'm 100% with you. Let's go to another surprising trade. It's a great baseball move. Fantasy-wise, it is a killer. And that's Rossell Iglesias getting traded to the Atlanta Braves from the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. As we know, Kenley Jansen is the closer in Atlanta, but he's only closer for this year as he's a free agent. Rossell's got two more years of control after this. And in the playoffs, you always need more pitching. So this is it's a great baseball move, but fantasy it's pretty rough. So what's your thoughts on this one?
No, it's a killer. I own a lot of shares of Iglesias all around, and he hasn't been, you know, quite the best closer for the year, but he's still been useful, you know. And this pretty much killed all his value for fantasy purposes, and maybe just for old leagues or things like that. But it's really damning for him. But it's actually a really genius move for Atlanta, because now they have Jensen, Will Smith, and Iglesias for those late innings, and that's going to be a really big edge when we get to the short series and things like that. Now for what's coming or who will get those saves in LA, that's an open question. Yep. Some people think that Jose Quijada is going to be the guy that's going to get the chance to work there. I don't know. There's also Ryan Tepper and Aaron Loop. Mm-hmm. So it's an open-ended question right now. I would do some speculation on Tepera, but it's pretty much an open race right now.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. I'm leaning towards the Ryan Tepera situation. He's proven he can do it. So is Lupit from time to time. But I'm going to go with Tepera for now, but we'll have to kind of wait and see. It has the feeling of an ugly just platoon situation. So
yeah, and it's not like the Angels are going to give them too much opportunities to get safe. So that's
sadly,
another thing.
Sadly, this is true.
Yeah, maybe if you're really, really desperate to get some saves in your league, it's a good speculative ad. But you just keep your expectations on really low.
Yeah, don't break the bank, basically. Put some bids in, but don't go crazy on that one. The Braves made a few more moves. We'll go to another platoon situation now. Is Robbie Grossman getting traded from the Tigers to the Braves? He's had a very rough season after a great 2021.
Yeah.
Hits lefties very well, though, so a great chain to platoon potentially with Eddie Rosario. That's an option with Adam Duvall out for the season. Robbie Grossman's probably available in a lot of leagues. Are you interested in picking him up, or you're just like, hey, see what happens?
Maybe if I need to boost runs, because he's a really good on base guy. He's not especially this year, but we know he has a talent to get on base, and that's what he has done mostly of his career. And might give you a little help in that regard, but it's not really a big actionable guy that we must add, especially because he's going to be in a share situation with Rosario and others in that outfield. So, and I mean, well, I saw that Michael Harris was hurt. So, but I think it wasn't something very serious. So that's something we might keep an eye on and see if that boosts his playing times. But he would basically would be good for the purpose of getting some runs and those is kind of stats, but not beyond that. But if you're playing an OBP league, I think now it might give you a little help, but just don't get your expectations too high on him.
Yeah, I'm just worried about a platoon situation there. But with Harris out for now, at least he'll get to play, like you said, and we'll kind of see where it goes from there, and maybe something starts to click for him, and we'll see. The Braves also added another starting pitcher in Jake Odorizzi. Since Odorizzi came back from the IL on July 4th, he has a 4.45 ERA, 4.29 xFIP, and a wonderful 17.1% K to walk. It's better than I thought it would be. Let's put it that way. He's an up and down guy, very frustrating from time to time to roster.
Yeah.
Do you have any interest in him in fantasy?
No, not at all. To be honest, I think he's just, you know, a mop up guy from now on. So I don't think he's actionable either.
Yep, he's maybe a streamer from time to time, but that's about it. That was a baseball move. The Braves made baseball moves, not fantasy moves this year.
Exactly.
Definite baseball moves.
Exactly.
Let's go to the Minnesota Twins. I loved what they did at the trade deadline here, and it starts out with getting a closer, which they desperately needed, and Jorge Lopez from the Baltimore Orioles. Jorge's been great this year. He already got his 20th save of the year with a save on Wednesday. And Rocco Baldelli said he's going to try to give him as many ninth inning chances as possible. So great move for Jorge. And then what's your thoughts? Because I know my thoughts on Baltimore.
I mean, I was surprised because I didn't think there were going to be sellers or that big of a sellers. You know, I wasn't expecting them to be, you know, these huge contenders, but they've been surprisingly better than anything thought about. I think so. And they got a few guys that were helping them, and one of them was Jorge Lopez, definitely. He and Felix Bautista, of course. Those guys have been so good at the end of the games. So I was a big surprise, but fantasy wise, Lopez gets a boost, and those that can get Felix Bautista, I don't know if he was very available anywhere, but maybe in 12 teamers he's available. And he's a must add anywhere, everywhere. And that's a guy that you might want to break the bank on because he's a bigger option it's not a lateral move as we saw with the Hader and Roger situation before. So Bautista stuff is just filthy. Apart the guy's like, I don't know, 8 feet tall. He's an imposing figure. and he's pretty much, well, he got a save today, I think, but he got a homer. They got a homer, but he struck out the side and today or yesterday, I can recall.
Today he struck out the side.
Yes, today, yeah, right. That's his business. He can get the job done very well.
Yeah, he's outstanding. The strikeout stuff is filthy, like you mentioned. He's going to get the ninth inning role with Baltimore, which is going to be very, very nice. So, yes, he's pretty much one of the bigger winners of this entire trade deadline when it comes to fantasy purposes. I would rush to get him if you can. That'd be a big, big add. Another fantasy winner, probably not available on waiver wires, is Tyler Mahle, who got traded from the Cincinnati Reds to the Twins. Another great ballpark improvement, of course, and a pretty darn good defensive improvement for Mahle. We've all wanted to see him go somewhere where he can actually keep the ball in the ballpark potentially. This is a great spot for that. This is a phenomenal move. Absolutely excited about this one, Carlos.
This is the one that has me more excited of all, most of the transactions that we saw, because if you see the splits for Mahle, I mean, it's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde whenever he's out of the atrocious ballpark. He can, you know, be a game changer for any contending team when we saw that Carlos Correa was going to Minnesota, we all thought, oh, at least I did. Oh my God, what he's going to do over there? But it turns out that these guys are putting a team with a big chance, and they are double down. They doubled down acquiring more pitching that they surely needed, and Tyler Mahle is just the perfect fit for them. He always had a little bit of a problem with the homers, but especially because his home stats were inflating that situation for him. And he's had some troubles with injuries, but it looks like he is past that. And he's been terrific for the past 7-8 starts. And what's not to like? And he's moving out from that division also, and he's now going to face, you know, more the Tigers. He's gonna go against the Royals, even the Chicago, which has been really a big deception. So everything is to like about this trade, and I think the guys at Minnesota, the front office, did a tremendous job. They had to put out some big names, as I understand those prospects that they have to give up. But I think it was worth the price for Mel. He's in a great pitcher, and he's going to do tremendously good in Minnesota, in my opinion.
And it's great for Lopez and Molly because they both have at least one more year of control after this year. So they're getting them for more than just this push. So it's a great move for Minnesota. I'm absolutely ecstatic for this one. So I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully panning out for fantasy owners and Twins fans alike. They also picked up Michael Fulmer. He's just going to kind of be a setup man. But if something happened to Duran and Lopez, he's a guy, but it's kind of down the road type situation. But a good baseball move. Very good baseball
move. Yeah, if you looked at that end of the game bullpen, it's nasty. I mean, they have Fulmer, Duran, who I thought he was going to be the closer in that team at some point. But I understand that he's more valuable in high leverage situations where things are, you know, pretty much on the line. And I understand that's real life baseball and makes sense in that regard. Unfortunately, this is something I'm playing my first ever main event team. And I'm co-managing with my friend Mark Northen, and we have Duran always with the expectation that he was going to be the closer, and it didn't happen, and it was such a turnout. But he's still great for your ratio. So, so I think Minnesota did great for real baseball, and we're gonna talk about a lot about Minnesota from now on. I think so.
There's a great chance they win that AL Central, so that's gonna be really fun to see how that one pans out. The Toronto Blue Jays made a couple moves. Whit Merrifield at the last minute going to Toronto. Obviously, he's got some other situations to figure out before he crosses the border, but I'm assuming they knew that before they made the deal, so I'm not too worried about that. It's like Benintendi, he got his thing fixed. We'll get that taken care of. But the question I have for you is, you'd imagine he's going to play over Santiago Espinal. That's kind of the main guy that's in the way, but he's also playing at the bottom of the order. So how do you think this affects Witt's fantasy value going forward?
This is a downgrade for him, definitely. He is going to miss more plate appearances. He's the king of contact. He's been like the leader of balls in play for the past couple of seasons or something like that. This year, he's not, because he lost some time and things like that. But this is a downgrade for him. It's great for Toronto. He's gonna help them once again. It's a great real baseball addition, but in terms of fantasy, he loses value in my book. And I'd be worried because he helps with average and stolen bases, and might probably still be good for average, but those stolen bases are gonna fall down, that's pretty much the biggest impact that he brings to the table, you know. I think that he's going to lose appeal for fantasy in that regard.
I'm 100% with you. I'm worried about it. Like, if for some random reason they put him at the top of the order, which I would be shocked, then a lot of this changes, obviously. Sure. But I think we all have to speculate that he's going to be down there towards the bottom, because you just look at that lineup and it's loaded. Like, where does he go? So it's going to hurt him big time, you know, average, stolen bases, run score, like all the counting stats are just going to dwindle for Whit Merrifield. So definitely something to monitor. You're not going to probably drop him, but it's definitely something to, when you're making those start sit decisions, you might have
a discussion. That make it tougher, because you cannot drop him. that's the big, that's tough. Maybe if you're in a daily league, you can try to, you know, see how does the match goes and things like that. But in weekly leagues, it's even harder, because, you know, you're losing about 20-30% of the PAs that you were getting before.
Yep, gets very, very tricky. The Jays made another move that was kind of surprising. I was a big Mitch White fan in the year. He did not perform the way I was expecting. The strikeouts just weren't there. He was okay. It was just a lot of contact, not a lot of strikeouts, kind of blah. Got sent back down to AAA. Then he just got traded to Toronto. Ross Stripling just went on the IL. And if you search Ross Stripling, there's so many tweets comparing Ross Stripling and Mitch White's numbers. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's like the Spider-Man gif where they stare at each other. So there's a good chance that Mitch White comes up and gets into Stripling's role. So what's your thoughts on Mitch White? Is he just kind of a wait and see, or are you going to be a little interested in him this weekend?
I'm interested and I'm intrigued, but I think he's a speculative I think you should get some shares of White, because he got dropped a lot because when he was sent down by the Dodgers. And I think he's going to have the opportunity to start a lot now with the Stripling situation. I like his stuff. He used to rank nice in specs. Then he fell down a little bit. And I'm with you. I thought he was going to get more strikeouts and things like that. He didn't. But I like him as a pitcher. He gets a lot of ground balls. And that's always good, especially in when you are not striking out people. So you need to get those out one way or another. And it's better to get them on the floor than on the air, you know, where those batted ball can be converted into extra base hits. So I think he's a player that you might get some shares cautiously, not overbidding or anything like that. But he's a good speculative, it's maybe as a streamer, things like that. I like him.
Yeah, I like him too. I'm curious. I like how you said just be cautious, don't overspend, because I think he's good. I was asking Nick Savali and Derek Rhodes, two injury guys on Twitter, about the Stripling injury, because it's like his glute or something. It's not a common injury, so they're speculating like 15 to 20 days. Okay, if he comes back by then. Is Mitch White going back to AAA? So there's a lot of questions still, but it looks like Mitch White will get some run here for at least a few weeks. That's promising. So I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, maybe he gets a couple or three starts and he does really well, and they try to maximize using him. So he's a good speculative ad, I think so.
100%. Over the weekend, David Peralta was traded to the Tampa Bay Rays. I was nervous because Tampa Bay goes into Platoon City. But since Peralta's been traded, he's played the last three games. He's hit fifth or sixth, DH in left field. So he's played every game since he's been there, which is good to see.
Yeah.
And we'll see what could potentially change. But what's your thoughts on Peralta? He's not like a world beater, but when it comes to batting average, he's been very effective this year.
Peralta's always one of those boring guys that we kind of forget about. And he's always a good, he adds a little bit of counting stats, a little bit here and there, and his average is always nice, especially right now that the average is over the floor, league-wide. So he's a great ball player. I was also a little bit, afraid that he was going to lose playing time because of all the crazy stuff that Tampa does always. I still think he's going to lose some playing time compared with what he might have had in Arizona, but he's now in a better lineup, and that makes miracles for players. So the net sum is, I think, it's a positive one for Peralta, and he's not available anywhere, I think. So he's just not actionable as such, but we will see a net positive impact for him.
And I'm with you there. Yeah. If you need batting average help, go get him. Otherwise, he's not going to do too much else. But I will say, I've written about him the last couple of weeks for like waiver wire stuff. And if you dig in, the power's kind of showing up. The quality of contact's been pretty decent. So it's been interesting. It's not a great ballpark for that, but we'll see how that one plays out. Another fun Red Sox move, Tommy Pham gets traded to the Boston Red Sox. Leaving Great American Small Park, never good. But he does get that green monster to pepper if he so chooses. What's your thoughts on Tommy Pham going to Boston?
I think it's a lateral move here too. I think there's not too much to add in that regard, because as you said, he's living a great batter's park, but he's in a place that he will still be able to get some balls out. He's batting second, I think.
Yes,
and that's good because he has Rafael Devers behind him, which is always good protection, he will continue doing whatever he's been doing this year. So it's pretty much a lateral move also. This is more of what the hell is Bloom doing there, in terms of real life baseball, but I'm not really sure right now what's the plan
Well, we have one more questionable blue move. Christian Vasquez gets traded to the Houston Astros. This was the first move. Well, I think Pham might have come before. I can't remember now. But he gets traded to the Astros. He's in 281 on the season with 8 home runs. That's pretty darn good for a catcher. Yeah. We know what he can do behind the plate. It's a big upgrade for the Houston as a team, and it probably helps him a bit fantasy-wise. What's your thoughts on Vasquez to Houston?
I think that having Vasquez is a lot better than having Kevin Plawecki or Reese McGuire in that position. I mean, I think the Astros hit the jackpot in terms of having not having a bad batter. I mean, the Astros love they have Martin Maldonado because they like the way he takes the pitchers and handles them during games, but Maldonado cannot bat to save his life. And now they got Vasquez, who can hit and it will help in a bunch of situations there. I understand that maybe a 31 years old catcher is not precisely something that you are going to protect in your roster, and that might be the thought on Bloom, but I mean, what are your other options, right? It's not like you have so much better options over there. So this trade season for Boston is one of the most baffling ones I've ever seen, to be honest. And it's also not a very actionable situation because he was already
gone,
and I would not add McGuire or any other of the guys that are now in Boston catching, so not very interesting.
Yeah, 100% with you on that one. And you basically answered Mike Carter's question. The doc said, what is Boston doing? I think you got the answer. We don't know. It makes no sense. Absolutely no sense what they're doing.
No sense, doctor. It's more or less what your guy in Chicago is doing.
Yeah, what are they doing?
Mike is a big White Sox fan. He's really, really mad at what those guys are doing over there.
Yeah, it's crazy. Absolutely crazy. A couple more moves here. Joey Gallo gets out of New York. That's a horrible story for those that haven't heard it yet, the way he was treated there. If you're bad, you're bad. But come on, your fans, people, get your stuff together. That is embarrassing. But he goes to the Dodgers. I'm not really worried too much about this. But if there's only a few teams that could scare me to fix somebody, and the Dodgers would be one of them. So what's your thoughts on this move with Joey Gallo going to L.A.?
I'm adding Gallo everywhere. And not because I think the Dodgers have a magical thing that they can do, although sometimes it looks like that. Look at what they're doing with Andrew Heaney and other guys over there. But just thinking about all the stuff that Gallo is leaving behind, moving out of New York, those are the kinds of things that we can't measure with our funny little stats. It's the human part that we don't know how things can shape up now that he's free of that situation out of New York. I'm not saying LA is a smaller scenario, not at all, but it's a different situation. The expectation that people had with Gallo in New York was really big, and understandably, the guy couldn't perform the way we thought. I thought he was going to do a lot better, but unfortunately, it didn't happen. So, and I'll add some numbers because even with the human part checked, Gallo's still the guy that can knock the balls, one of the guys that can knock the ball harder than anyone. The problem with him, as we all know, is contact for sure, but he can literally, let me just look for my cue little bird. He's third in cue.
That's pretty good.
He's third behind Mike Trout, Aaron Judge. Wow. So he has the strength. It's just need to, make more contact. And if they can do a little twitch, just a little. It's something I can compare saving distances with Matt Olson from 2020 to 2021.
And folks, if you guys don't know, Carlos was all over that. Like, he wrote about it and talked about it before it happened. So as you were, continue.
Yeah, I got lucky with that. But what Olson needed was to just cut the K percentage a little bit. He cut it a lot more than I thought he would, which was really nice. But the thing could happen, the same thing could happen with Gallo. If he cuts that the strikeout percentage a little bit, man, we're going to see a lot of balls going out the ballpark. So it's all to win, you know. So if you can add him, just do it. And don't go crazy, but just give him a chance.
Yeah, I don't hate it. If he can get do it for a cheap price, I'm on board with it. But I want to see what they do with him, how they play with, like, how often he plays. Do they ease him in? What do they do? But
yeah,
I think a lot of it's between the years, as you said, and that could be a big, big plus going forward. Noah Syndergaard gets traded to the Philadelphia Phillies. Noah Syndergaard, you know, he's not the ace that everyone thought Thor would be, but he's been serviceable this year. That much. If you look since June 6th, he's made 7 starts. He's given up 3 earned runs or less in 6 of them. He has 37 Ks over 39 and 2/3 innings. Like, he's not elite. He's still walking too many guys. So 14.3% K to walk, 4.37 xFIP, but he's been very, very serviceable. So how do you look at Syndergaard going to Philadelphia?
This is a great real baseball trade that the Phillies did. I mean, if you look at their rotation, it's gotten really nice. They have Nolan Wheeler, which any of them could be a number one starting pitcher in any team. And now they add Syndergaard. They have Suarez already. He has not been the guy that he was last year, but he's still a great. He has a lot of potential there. And now they put Syndergaard, who should be SP4, or maybe SP3, because they have Gibson, who should return really soon. So that's you don't have like flashy names, because Nola is always underrated, I believe. And Wheeler, we know he's an ace. He was on the Cy Young conversation last year. So we know he's really, really good. So I think the Phillies did the right thing. Do they have the pieces now to contend? It's, you know, debatable, because they still have holes in their roster. I think for them it made sense. For Noah, it's an upgrade for sure. Living Los Angeles is always an upgrade for anyone, mostly. He will get more wins, and as you name all the stats, he has serviceable ratios and things like that. I wouldn't mind having him in my bench, to be honest.
Yeah, no, he's definitely going to have some nice starts coming up here. It's a tougher division, tougher ballpark, but definitely a better move for Noah and potential fantasy value for sure. They made another move with the Angels. They went and got Brandon Marsh to play center field, because their center field, their defense as a whole is not good, but their outfield defense is very bad. They need a center fielder. Offensively, Marsh has underperformed this year. He has 8 home runs and 8 stolen bases, which is nice, but 36% K rate is not cutting it. But he's had in the minors, he hit the ball very, very well. So maybe a change of scenery, who knows? But defensively, he's a stud, which means he's probably going to still play every day regardless of his bat.
Yeah, he doesn't have a lot of opposition there, because there's like only Jairo Munoz and Matt Buehrling, who are not, you know, really great at fielding. So, I think he will get a lot of playing time. Maybe that can help him, because he was a highly regarded prospect. So this could be one of those cases of guys that in their post-hype, you know, sleepers and things like that. And maybe next year he can put his offensive act together to add to his defensive. I wouldn't add him right now, to be honest, because he has to prove a lot of things. But we should keep an eye on him for next season.
Yeah, I'm not looking to add him either, unless something changes tremendously in his approach in Philadelphia. But he's there. He's there to play defense while the rest of the guys hit a million home runs. That's what they're going for. One of the last moves we have here, David Robinson was also traded to Philadelphia. Sir Anthony Dominguez serviced very well as the closer, but Robertson already got the save on Wednesday. It looks like it's going to be his role for now in Philadelphia. Yeah. So what's your thought on that situation?
I thought that Rodriguez was going to be the closer for the rest of the season. He's been really good, Sir Anthony. But this is once again a great baseball movement for the Phillies. Unfortunately, I think here we will see a share situation for the safe opportunities. Of course, Robertson gets a boost because going out of the Cubs will give him more opportunities to get some safe, but it's still going to be a share situation. So you're very much going to need them both to get, you know, like a full bulk of safe. But if you're desperate for them, the thing is that people already had Robertson because he was closing for the Cubs and already had Sir Anthony. So there's not much to be done right now regarding that.
Yeah, I'm with you 100% on that one. And we mentioned with Robertson leaving, Givens got traded and Efras got traded. Are you going with Rowan Wick in Chicago, or how are you looking at that bullpen at the Cubs? It's a mess.
Yeah, it's a total mess. I mean, he's the one that's going to get the first chance, I guess. But I wouldn't hold my ear thinking that he's going to be really good at it, to be honest.
And the last move I have here is Darren Ruff went to the Mets, J.D. Davis to the Giants. I don't know if either one plays enough to get a ton of a rep. Like, Davis will get more playing time potentially. I think it's mainly on weeks where they face a lot of lefties for both of them. Mm-hmm. So anything to I don't see it. It's hard to roster them, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I mean, they are, you know, the kings of platoon. Ruff, I love the guy. He's been great. And I know that you follow him because you're a Giants fan. So we know that the guy can perform, but in his role, you know, he just plays in the platoons that benefit him the most. And I think that's going to be his role again with the Mets. I'm more excited about J.D. Davis in San Francisco, to be honest, because once again, he rates very well in my Q leaderboard. He's fifth between Patrick Wisdom and Kyle Schwarber. The guy has more power than we think so and that we might be aware of. And he has a great standard deviation of his launch angle, meaning that he can repeat his bad path a lot. So and yeah, he can do it in a good angle most of the time. So he maximizes his at-bats. If he gets more playing time, I think he's a good addition, and it could give you some good counting instead, some, you know, unexpected homers that you might need now and here and there. But the problem is going to be what's San Francisco going to do with them in terms of playing time. And that's always a big situation with them. They are now the Rays of the National League in that regard. And so that's a tricky one. It might be a good speculative addition, but it's just if it's very cheap.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's got to be cheap. It's got to be a deeper league. Yep. And for now, with Evan Longoria on the IL, it's going to be nice. Like, the Giants are platoon happy as well when guys are healthy, but they're having health issues all season. So it's been playing itself out for the most part. Just keep an eye on that as guys come back and see where that goes. Let's talk a little specs and some Q leaderboard before we get to some listener questions here. And I love this metric. I know we've talked about it many times. For those that are curious, if you Carlos has it pinned to his Twitter account, CA Marcano, and he updates it every, you know, so often with the new stats and everything. And on the sheets, there's articles that link you to how the stats made, basically where the sausage is made. So we're not going to go over that again. We've done that the last couple times. It's great stuff. Just generically, the hitting the Q leaderboard, it really factors in like your guys hit the ball really hard and for like elevate the ball and basically the best potential hits you can get. That's the layman's lazy way of putting it. Obviously a lot more involved there. And then when you got your specs leaderboard, it factors in a lot of the strikeout stuff we're looking at, the O swings, the CSWs, all the stuff that leads to really elite pitchers. So that's the easy way to put it.
No, you put it very well. That was really good.
that's just the easy way to put it. But like, I recommend people read the article because it definitely makes it make a lot more sense. When Carlos and I talked about it before, he puts it together so easily to make this is why he picked the stats, this is why it makes sense, so on and so forth. So like, that's why I really enjoy these. On the sheets, there's also a like last 15 days, last 30 days, so you can kind of get an idea of who's hot, who's not. So that's pretty interesting. But let's start with specs, Carlos. First off, I guess I'll say it's for either metric. Did you change anything this year, or did you keep everything business as usual?
It's mostly business as usual. I mean, I did try a lot of stuff. I'm always tinkering with it in my, you know, private, you know, lab around it and all the coding and stuff. But to be honest, I'm satisfied with the way it's been working for the last, it's already the last two seasons. So I don't want to fix what's not broken. There is a space for improvement, and I will sure keep tinkering. And maybe for the next season, there will be some changes. But right now, we will just keep rolling with it. And it's been, you know, I think it's been helpful for me in a lot of chances. And one thing that I would like to always remind anyone using it is, and you mentioned it before, is use it and remember that there are 15 and 30 days and the whole season indexes. And the good thing about that is that you can see the progression for the pitchers. And that's very helpful. And I'll give you an example. Spencer Watkins. Spencer Watkins, he's been, you know, overperforming what we thought that he would be doing at this moment. And if we go to his 15 and 30 days specs, we can see that progression before that he would was actually reflecting on his ERA and things like that. Because the way the specs works is that it uses some estimators that try to forecast it, which is really, really hard. But sometimes we hit the nail right. And Spencer Watkins is one of those situations. You can see the progression. He for the season, if you go and you can see that he's just a 58. Just a quick reminder, this is a scale from 0 to 100. Except for DeGrom that always breaks stuff and goes beyond 100. And Spencer Strider is doing something similar, but those are the guys that break things. But 58, it's not really good at all. If you see that for the season, you would lose interest on Spencer Watkins really fast. But if you check the 30 and 15 days index, you will see that he's been getting better and better. And the jump from 58 to 70 almost in from the season to the 30 last days, it should, you know, start the alarms for you, and you say, hey, something's happening with this guy here, and this is actionable, because usually that means that the pitcher is doing something different that will lead to better results most of the time. And it continued when for the 15 last days he went from 68 to almost 71, so it's steadily going better. So I'm very hopeful about him. He's been a great streamer if you choose the opponents and the teams that he's pitching against. Of course, he's still not you know, an ace or something like that. But these are the tiny things that where you can get an edge here and there that can help you in your teams.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's great. And I forgot to mention on the sheet, there's a comparable portion you could do here, and up to three pitchers. Like, so you have Singer, Watkins, and Lizardo here right now. And and you can see the difference from season to 30 to 15 day improvements. And Singer's is crazy. But I think it's also interesting to me that Lizardo has been pretty darn good the whole season, and yeah. it's just there's been a lot of question marks around him and everything, but he's still been pretty good. So it's another fun tool to also compare different pitchers to, or get the full picture, like you're saying. So it's really, really fun to see, like, the Watkins deal. Singer, who's also improving rapidly, it does make a lot of sense, because, you know, like you said, you look at a full season, and yeah, it's like going to Fangraphs looking at a full season. Oh, the guy still has a 4.6 ERA, he's no good. But he's made improvements of late, and, you know, in fantasy, we care about what's next, not what already happened. So it's a great tool to kind of see where those go. And, you know, when you get to the smaller samples, the relievers are going to obviously more often than not be very good, because they have fewer incidences to affect things. But you still got some great ones, like, Jason Junk all of a sudden is on the board here. He's only made one start. It's only six innings, but he stands out as a pretty guy to maybe look at a little more. It makes it a little more interesting as a guy that might get some run there for Anaheim, especially with Syndergaard out of town. Is there any other pitchers that have really stood out to you this season when you've been using specs? Maybe that's helped you make some big improvements?
Sure. Well, there have been a lot of like lesser used names, but there has been also some overlooked guys that we were taking for granted, and they've been useful. Tony Gonsolin, that we thought that he couldn't get enough innings and things like that. It turns out that he's gotten a lot of wins, and he was pretty cheap in during the draft season, and he was one that was pointed out. Tyler Mahle should end way better than he started. He's already improved. What I like about this is that we can see the progression, and we can action and take some decisions on the fly. And of course, you have guys that are already the studs that you will not be able to get them. But for example, taking apart his start yesterday where he was really bad, Keegan Thompson has had a useful season if you have been playing him against the appropriate teams, you know, the offensives. And his specs has been near 70, 72. So these are the kind of names that I'm always looking for that maybe are not used or are a little bit out of the radar, and you can still get them for streaming, especially right now in the second part of the season. Of course, for draft season, Specs all is still, and he Specs is a big fan of Kevin Gausman, for example. And you can argue that you could get for the draft season the discounted price comparing to other guys, the big names, you know, Cole, Scherzer, and Gausman is giving us SP1 numbers at a discounted price. Guys like this are always fall under the radar, but Specs always put them on the mat for us. Right now, I'm speculating that Shohei Ohtani should get Cy Young votes, you know? Yeah. And he's got like three. Yeah, let's compare him with Shane McClanahan, which he's been like fantastic, right? And he's been, I think everyone has in their Cy Young votes for this year. But Ohtani only has pitched 30 innings less than McClanahan at this moment, which is, I understand that people like to see volume, right? But Ohtani's K minus walks rate is better. His CSW is almost the same. He is making chase almost the same quantity of batters. And if you compare most of their stuff, they're not that far. And it might sound crazy, but I'm not saying he has to win or the Cy Young or anything like that. But if he can get some six more starts, he could be in the conversation for that. So, and this is something that if you go only for the accumulated stats or the typical stuff, you might overlook, you know. I always recommend people to go deep into the list, compare the previous season, because I also have a historical data for last season there, and be really, really curious about these small trends, and you might find that Spencer Watkins that can help you and will be useful for a couple of starts here and there, And at the end of the season, you can start looking for the next, you know, Kevin Gausman. That's as he did for me on 2020.
Yeah, no, I love it. And real quick, what do you prefer the number to be above 76? Like, what are you looking for above 70 to be good, 80?
So 75 is like the cutoff. But if a pitcher was doing, I don't know, 60 and suddenly he's on the 70s, not necessarily 75, you have to follow those increments, 20, 30% increments from 15, 30 days or the season. I'm even more interested about this because you will see the leaderboard and the first 10, 15 guys are going to be guys that, you know, they are the great pitchers, and we already know about that. So the increments and changes in their index is what interests me the more, because that way we can see trends and we can act before everyone else. You know?
Yeah, no, that's a great point. One other thing I'll mention on Specs here, I mentioned a bunch of relievers on there. They doing the 15 to 30 day samples also helps quite a bit with speculating on certain relievers that could be maybe not getting the saves, but maybe it could help you in ratios, could help you in other situations. Like a name that pops up here a lot is Jason Adam from Tampa Bay, who's been outstanding. He's even gotten a few saves throughout there. So that'd be one that would pop up for you. But just a few other ones, like Andres Munoz has been ridiculous.
Trevor Stephan in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Some guys, that's a great point. Yeah,
so something to think about there. Let's go to the Q leaderboard. Now, this one's fun because I love a leaderboard. It'll make people ask questions. And like I said earlier, it's about, you know, the hard contacts, the elevation. Basically, what guys have a better chance to hit home runs worse? That's the easiest way I can put it. And that's not the only thing this does, but that's the easy way for me to put it. And when you have a leaderboard that has, like you said, Joey Gallo's third, Patrick Wisdom's fourth, JD Davis is fifth, people are going to go, what is going on? But I think that's what shows the goods behind it, is it's just how good these guys hit the ball, and maybe they're just not going to produce. It is what it is, but they're also maybe getting unlucky, or maybe they've seen a tweak here or there. Yeah. So what are you seeing with the Q leaderboards this year that stands out? Like, besides, we already talked Gallo and Davis and everything, but like, what stands out to you? Because it's a pretty fun leaderboard overall.
Yeah, there are some things that the you know, get your eye, and definitely seeing JD Davis there, it's one of them. But also we have guys like Teoscar that some people were fading for this season, and he was injured, but he's now, you know, hitting the ball everywhere and getting the homers. If you could afford the stashing here, you are going to get some reward for the rest of the season. And of course, Q was always fond of, you know, guys like Jordan Alvarez and all the likes. But we also have some guys like Matt Chapman he's had his up and downs. He's a terrific defender. He's cape prone, as we all know. He strikes out a lot, but he's also got a good quantity of homers. Matt Chapman might be one of the most underrated power hitters of the game. Mm-hmm. And that's something that, as you said, if he can tweak it a little bit now and there, he could turn himself into one powerhouse that we might go get higher in our ranks. And those are the things that you should be following around. We have guys like Paul Goldschmidt that he's been a little bit luck in terms of BABIP, but he's also overperforming, and he's always rating good in Q. So you can always do nice speculative ads that might get you big benefits in the draft season if things click the way. And we all know that, yes, we can do all our analysis and things like that, but luck is always going to be part of these games, and sometimes we just need a little bit of it so our players, you know, get all the or do everything that we expect them from.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you're not going to run at all these guys, but it's interesting. Like, Jorge Soler is still hitting the ball very hard, just the production is not there, and that's just one of those that stands out. We saw the tears he went on in the past. Like, Fran Reyes, we knew he hit the ball hard, he just swung and missed at everything. That's why he's in AAA now. Garrett Cooper is on this list. That's a great one to look at as a potential guy. Just some fun names on here. When you're bred, Christopher Morel is up here, which says a lot about his quality of contact. Definitely some highlights that stand out to me in a big way. Anything else on the Q leaderboards or specs that you'd like to mention? Because I think it's a lot of fun. I want people to dig into it some more. I think it needs to be a bigger used tool because I love all the tools because you have it all there. It's easy. For hitting, for instance, everyone references max EVs, hard hit rates, barrel rates. It's all right here. It's all in one. And I think that's a useful tool. Same with your specs. And I just like all the tools we can use that are easy to use. We can use them to help us find things to dig into to make a deeper analysis on stuff. So any other thoughts on specs and Q leaderboard?
No, as I said, and just encourage people to you know, surf around the list and you will surely find something that pops up and cuts your attention. And it's like the initial step to deep digger in some guys that you might, overlook if you weren't by it. And it's always fun to see something that maybe it's getting, you know, it isn't getting enough attention, and from there taking it further and find out for a potential breakout or even for fading one or other player. It's always if I can help you, anyone can send me a message on Twitter. I'm more than happy to discuss. I love ranting a little bit about baseball.
Yes, it's good stuff, people. So please ask Carlos away on that one. If I can help you, I will, but I'll probably just point you in his direction. So and then, like I said, he's even got all the links on top of it to help you figure it all out. So I highly recommend checking it out. A couple listener questions here. We already answered the Docs question. What are the Red Sox doing? Yeah, nobody knows. Wake Up asks, okay, so he basically put the closing situations after the trade deadline. So let's get your thoughts on these. Tampa Bay, is it Fairbanks or Adam?
Oh, man, I'd love to be Adams, but yeah, they're definitely going to go whatever the situation needs. So it's going to be a shared situation most of the time. That's the way they roll. Yeah.
They've both been good. Fairbanks got a couple saves recently. We've seen him do it in the years past.
Yeah.
It's one of those, every time you get comfortable with one, though, it goes to someone else. I'm going to go Fairbanks, but see what happens.
It's a coin toss.
Texas, Jonathan Hernandez, or would you like somebody else?
I like Hernandez. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
One thing I mentioned with Toby on Tuesday night is Joe Barlow is supposed to start a rehab assignment soon, so keep that in mind. I think it's still Hernandez for now. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. Especially a couple of years ago, he was supposed to be the guy before he got hurt, so that's interesting. Cincinnati, he just put no.
It's anyone's. Cincinnati is a mess in that regard. It's been a mess the whole year. I thought at the beginning of the year that Art Warren was going to run away with the closing role. He just was terrible. He's been hurt a lot, and it's anyone's to take the job. I'm not really excited to pick up a Reds closer for anything for the rest of the year. But if you're desperate, I'm not really sure that who to point you to be honest. I'd rather say anything, to be honest.
I've called it all year Reds roulette because it just keeps changing. It's ridiculous. It was supposed to be Hunter Strickland, then he gets removed. Alexis Diaz gets put in there. Then when everyone drops Hunter Strickland came back in there. So if you have the patience,
Buck Farmer.
There's better things to do with your time. Go get Felix Bautista in Baltimore. That's one you could do. Jorge Lopez in Minnesota. I think we can pretty much agree on that one. Totally. Detroit, he said, because they make a move, so it's still Soto,
I assume. Soto has been my main guy for saves everywhere. I love the guy. He sometimes gives me a heart attack now and then Soto was like one of the big hits for me in drafting this year because he was really cheap compared to other closers. The same happened with Daniel Bard in Colorado. We got him really cheap, but and he even Joe Jimenez is doing terrific for Detroit, I think they keep rolling with Soto the rest of the year.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. And then lastly, if for those that like Silence of the Lambs, he said for Philadelphia, Sir Anthony finally captured by Clarice. And D-Rob takes over. I think what you said earlier is like Robertson gets most of the saves, but Sir Anthony probably gets a little bit of love too.
Yeah. Might be a 65-35 situation there. I think so.
A great listener of the show, great Twitter friend, Joe G asks, who has a better rest of season, Taylor Ward or Trent Grisham?
Grisham, I think. I think Ward already showed what he was going to do. And Grisham is all around. It's a better baseball player.
Yeah, I like what Grisham's been doing lately. He's homered in three straight games. If you look deeper, he's the hard hit metrics. I think are starting to get really good. Just needs a little more contact, and those are starting to show up. So I'm liking what we're seeing there. And then last but not least, good buddy of ours, Dave Swan at DeVithius asks, and you kind of answered this earlier, but I'll let you have the floor. Will LA fix Joey Gallo?
I think they might. I don't know if fixed, but it will be. We will see a better version of Gallo than what we've seen so far. It's, Dave is my manager at Pitcher List.
Yeah, Dave is an amazing human being, and he's. I had him on the show before. I've been in chats with him. He is such a great, great guy. So
terrific.
I love when he wants to interact with us, which is always good. So I wish him the best. But I'm with you. I think Gallo will get better. Can't get much worse, let's put it that way.
Exactly.
So I think he will get better. My biggest concern is just how often does he play? It's like, do you want him, Bellinger, and Muncy in the lineup at the same time right now? That's a interesting dilemma. Tonight, Gallo's not in the lineup. He showed up to the stadium, but Trace Thompson's out there and there's other rookies in the outfield.
Yeah.
Dodgers do Dodger things and they win. That's what they do. Dodgers do Dodgers. But all right, Carlos, we will wrap it up there, my friend. It is always great talking to you. Before we head on out again, remind everybody where they can find you, find your work, all that great stuff.
I'm usually on Twitter at CA Marcano. That's my main thing. And I am putting weekly stuff for Baseball Prospectus, and I still, Dave is waiting for me to do more stuff for Pitcher List, so I'll try to get into that soon. And always happy to talk baseball with you, Ryan, and anything, because I really love the way you carry your podcast, and I think that's why you are one of the best in the business. And I'm very happy to be here. And it's good to have baseball after we thought we wouldn't have a season and things like that. So we have to appreciate all the good stuff that we have been watching.
100%, man. That's one of the best things about you is your positive attitude. So that's a great point you make. There was a time where we didn't look like we're getting baseball. So and wasn't too long ago where we got like a partial COVID season. So it's been a wild few years when it comes to being a baseball fan.
Yeah.
Obviously, other things are more important than that, but being a baseball fan, and it's great to have a full season. We're gonna have a full playoff. Like we have baseball. We have Aaron Judge might break the home run records if you don't believe in Barry Bonds. Depends. I'm not going to get in that argument right now, but that's one it's going to fire up. Don't you worry. That'll come up here soon enough. You got Shohei Ohtani, like could be back-to-back MVPs, maybe MVP Cy Young. I don't hate that argument. There's a lot of fun storylines coming down the stretch. We got 2 months of baseball to go, so.
Thank God.
It should be great. But, we'll wrap it up there. Thanks for joining me as always, Carlos, and I can't wait to do it again sometime, my friend.
Thank you.
All right, everybody, this was Bench with Bubba, episode 496 with my good buddy Carlos Marcano, helping us break down the MLB trade deadline and more. Catch you all later.